to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
All right. Thank you, Douglas, and welcome to Breaking the Silence. We are just so excited about having you with us this evening. I'm just looking out the window here of my home and looking over the most beautiful city in the country, Houston, Texas, and looking at the medical center and all the wonderful different institutions down there, including Baylor College of Medicine. I just love working there. And the people that work there with me are just wonderful people. I just welcome you to the program tonight. I want to guarantee you tonight, this is a money-back guarantee that you're going to be blessed abundantly this evening because you spent some time with us on this hour-long show, and hopefully you can stay with us the entire hour because we're going to start off slow, but we're going to, once we get into it, the ball is just going to run down that hill, and it's going to be huge by the end of the program. We have some wonderful guests. You know, when I started this program back in August, I had several people that, you know, you always have naysayers in your life that sometimes come and try to give you their wisdom by knocking you back down to what you want to dream about. And I had a few naysayers say, you know, Greg, radio shows, podcasts, live events like that last about 2 or 3 months, and then you're going to run out of people to have on your program. I want to let you know, there's people waiting in line to be on the program, and it's not such a great thing because of what we talk about. There is so much hurt, pain, suffering, trauma in people's lives that they're looking to be able to share and talk about it, how to get over it, how to build resiliency. And we have really, in the next couple months, some of the best guests that I truly believe in the country right here on this program, and tonight is no exception to that rule. Next week, we're going to have Tyen Dayton from New York City, and she is an author, a therapist, and she is an ACEs, Adverse Childhood Experiences champion, and she helps people with their hurts, pain, trauma, and how to get over that and to find hope through in the middle of all that. And that's going to be next week. The following week, so 2 weeks from tonight, we have Peter Maldonado, the gentleman that we talked to a couple weeks ago. I invited him to come back because we just got him literally out of prison the last program we were on, and there was a lot more depth to the story we wanted to get into. So we're going to have him back in a couple weeks and try to get more information of how he dealt with prison life, how he dealt with the aftermath, and while he was in there, he became a drug counselor, and now he's a certified drug counselor in opioid use, and he'll be with us in a couple weeks. So, and some other great guests coming up in the near future. But tonight, I am honored. And, you know, people come into your life not by chance. And we're going to talk about this tonight. And I honestly, from the bottom of my heart, I have a new friend. And I need all the friends I can get. I guarantee you that because I don't have that many. But I have a true friend. A new friend, but I consider him a true friend. And Brannon Dempsey is with us tonight from another pretty good city in Texas, Austin. So Brannon is with us this evening, and he is the CEO and training director for Worship Team Training and University. He's also a local worship leader at his home church. And Brannon is in the middle of writing his book called Facing the Shadow, Embracing Hope and Finding Freedom from the Damage of Child Abuse. And we're going to talk about that tonight. But most of all, I just want to welcome Brandon to the program. Brandon, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, Greg. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure. How are you?
I am just fantastic, and welcome to the program. And I think you have a lot of your, because you have your own podcast, and you have your own network of people that's listening in tonight, right?
Yes, sir. Hey, everyone, Worship Team Training friends and family, and also our local church. Thanks so much for being with us tonight, and also our new friends on your network. Thank you.
We're going to try to promote your network and let everybody know the awesome work that you do, and maybe we'll just get one big happy family out of this. And I would love that. We're going to be probably a little more religious than normal tonight. I don't apologize for that. I'm not going to try to justify that whatsoever, because that's who we are. But we're going to be a little more Christian tonight if we can, because of the topics and because of the work that Brandon and I both do. Brandon, first of all, I guess maybe let's just start off with the interesting way that we even got connected. Do you want to start that story out? How did we come into running into each other?
Well, this came on the heels of me writing my book and Facing the Shadow. And by the way, that's a working title, just depending on where we land on it, will be, you know, even more beautiful when it's done. So I thank the great people and who are helping me with it, and my publisher, Jim Turner, who's listening right now. So Jim, hey, and also Steve, who's been very helpful. And so this came down to me writing the book. And as I was going through One Direction, this is interesting because I've done music all my life. I started out, and I'll get to my story later on, but before I became a Christian, before I believed in God, asked Jesus as my Savior in my heart, all that, I did music everywhere in the open and general markets, and I've done a lot of teaching and producing and writing. And when I found myself in ministry that by God's call, that's when I started having the idea of, you know, meeting different people and experiencing different relationships, different churches that I've been into, working with different awesome music teams. But I have my own stories of things that have happened just in the local church, things that I've seen that were interesting. And so I had first titled the book Confessions of a Worship Leader. Now, those of you who listen to our broadcast, that you follow us on Worship Team Training, you may be familiar with that title, and that book is coming. And so when I met with our publisher about that book, they became intrigued. And Jim had asked me, well, he just said right away, well, what's your story, Brandon? And after all these years of more than 35 years, I never thought that I'd say this, because, you know, it's been difficult to work through. And I asked him again, you mean my story, like where I started music? He goes, no. Just tell us, what's your story? Like, what happened to you? Because the angle that you're taking of this book has to come from somewhere. So talk about you. So I mentioned about how I came from a divorced family. A lot of family fractures came out of that. A lot of pain. There was a lot of that happened to me personally and my family included. And as I began to talk about that, they stopped me in mid-sentence and they said, that's the book. We want you to write about that. And I was very stunned because of the fact that I honestly wasn't prepared to even talk about it, much less to even write about it. I mean, people who know the things that we write at Worship Team Training, the great authors, the great worship leaders we have on, and great people in music. I mean, we have people that are, you know, that are not even working in the church, but they're God believing and Christ following, and they do music elsewhere. And they come on, they know us for those sectors. So they're used to the flow of, you know, how I write and what I talk about in our programs as well. So I was not prepared to talk about anything personal. And they told me this. People want to know you, Brandon. They want to know the real you. Before you have anything else to say about music, they want to know about you. Yeah. And I just thought, you know, that's pretty simple and honest. So why not? So as I began that journey, and we'll talk about that journey as we move on in the program, I mentioned that to a dear friend and also my board, and they said that definitely is a story that you need to write about, Brandon. And as I was working through those avenues, that's when one of my team partners had said to me, his name is Steve, and he had said, you know, Brandon, you need to check out Greg's book. You need to read his book, Shattered by the Darkness. And I'm immediately hooked on the title, didn't know what it was. He told me briefly what it was, and I just thought, man, that's great. So I got the book on Kindle. I couldn't put it down. I mean, and it was, you know, as you know, Greg, it's a very tough read for your audience who knows your book. And I just clung to every sentence, and there were days that I would just spend, even just on one page alone would take me 2-3 days just to work through. And I would even have to put, sorry, Greg, I at some points I had to put your book down and come back to it because it was just so heavy. And I was warned about that. I was warned about you. And, but I'll tell you, it blessed my soul, and it helped me understand that my story was not an anomaly, that I am not alone. And the deeper that I read into those words, a lot of what you said reminded me of my past in different ways, but very, very similar. And as I kept getting into the book, I went back to my partners and said, you know, this is what's happening. And they said, okay, well, you know, then this is where you need to really hone in on this. And so Steve knew you because you guys met at a convention. Was it Las Vegas?
Las Vegas. Tropicana Casino in Las Vegas, yeah.
I just hope that you guys were not gambling and you lost when you met each other. Because that would
no,
not
we were not. We
thing.
Met at the convention at the Tropicana
there
Casino. They have a convention hall,
know.
Too. Yeah, no. No, we went
know.
There. He came by my book table and noticed my name tag. And he said, you from Texas? I said, yeah. And he said, Houston? I said, yeah. I said, you from Houston? And he said, where do you work? I said, Baylor College. And he said, I work just a few blocks down the road. And we knew immediately we were there for that probably one purpose, to connect. I knew immediately that wasn't by chance. You just don't go that many miles away in a huge town to meet somebody that works a few blocks away from you. And it was amazing. So go ahead.
Right.
Yeah.
Precisely. Yeah. And so making that connection, I remember after reading your book, and I'm going back to my publisher, I'm going back to my partners and asking them, hey, you know, where am I at on this? And they said, you know, you need to just, my publisher told me, you need to bleed on the page. And when I heard those words, at first he said that before, and, you know, Jim's got a way of really, he's just a sweet, rich man, and the way that he encourages this, he holds you accountable. And it just knocked me between the eyes the first time, and I, you know, was kind of dubious. But then when he said it again after I read your book, he said, now you know this will help you and you need to really do this and just, this is your story. And I remember him saying that that the light that shined into your window, God had a reason through all that darkness that you saw that light. And you don't want to come to the end of this world where God comes to you and says, what did you do with the light that I shined in your window? And I had nothing else to say. And, you know, so with the help of God and great people, it's just becoming a reality now. So then as going back to the story and finishing your book after reading it, I reached out to you and I just, hey, Greg, thanks for your story. It was just really, it just encouraged me in so many ways. And I just want to say thanks. And I know you're here in a neighboring town from all in Houston, not too far from Austin, and love to talk if ever you get a chance. Now, Greg, I did not even think that you would respond. And it's not because you, you know, don't like to respond by email. I don't know you. You don't know me. And right. And I, you know, am working with people around the country and people in general, people get busy. And I just thought, well, you know, he'll probably look at it as a nice email. And and I wasn't looking for a response. I just wanted to genuinely thank you. And I was happy. It just really blessed my life. But then when you reached back within, what, it was like 15 minutes maybe?
Oh, at least, yeah, it wasn't much more than that, if not, yeah.
It wasn't long, and I thought it was an auto response, because some, you know, that happens too. And you actually said hello, and I'm thinking, and you said, I would love to talk. And so that's when we scheduled a phone visit the following week, and here we are.
Yeah, and we've talked 58 times since.
Have you counted?
No, I'm teasing.
It wouldn't surprise me, though.
It's probably more than that, but that's awesome. Yeah, isn't it amazing, yeah, though? Because it to me, there's just people that you run into that you automatically melt with, and we just melt together. It was just like, wow.
Yeah.
You'd even laugh at my stupid jokes, but it was just like, wow, this is something special. And as I was listening to your story, I said, I want to get you on the program and share this story, as much of it that you want to share and feel willing to share, because it's phenomenal. And I can't wait. I'll be the first one in line to buy the book when it comes out, because it's going to be awesome. Going to be great. Now, before we get into it, because we're going to work our way up to the first break, but so you have this worship team training and worship team university. What is exactly is that, and what do you do around the country with this?
Sure. Well, worship team training is a ministry organization in which myself and team members, predominantly just myself, and depending on who else we staff out, we go to many different churches and places that have music teams, worship ministries, and these are people that do music in the church, and these are people, the same people who would actually lead the music in what's called a church service or a worship service. Mm-hmm. It's not regulated to any denomination. We don't subscribe to any one denomination, because we want to help as many people as we can. And right. These are good people. These are volunteers. They're not paid. Some are. And we go in to help encourage them spiritually, to help them understand what the Bible says, first of all, about their lives and what it means to worship God, which is really to worship means just to respond to God. Worship is a verb. It is action. It's something that we are in fellowship with God, talking to God, praying to Him, mm-hmm. giving thanks to Him, responding to Him according to what Scripture says about Him, and not anything else. And so when we go, we have a five pragmatic step, and that's the spiritual development of worship. And then we go into the music mechanics of band, and then also with vocal. And then we talk about music leadership and team leadership. And then we also have a final wrap-up in which we put everything back together. The team gets to the church that we're visiting, they get to test out everything that was taught in a given weekend. That covers a Friday and Saturday. And these are private workshops. These are not large, you know, 2,000, 3,000 people. These right. are specific for churches that are between 100 to 200, but we've taught churches that had, you know, three worship team members all the way to 150 worship team members. So mm-hmm. the needs they range everywhere, and we go across the country. So we're heavy into the East Coast, the South, Midwest, West Coast, and the teaching revolves around a book that I had written that's called Worship Team Training. It's not anything spectacular, but it walks through all those five steps. And the whole point is to really engage volunteers and people in music and pastors alike in what they're doing within a worship service to make things tangible for the typical church goer. And that would be a guest who's never been to church. That would be people who have been to church for a long time. And to help them, to help the team do music in a way that makes sense to people that are in the church trying to worship or to learn about God. That's really it. And so, and the university is WTTU.co is our address, and Worship Team Training is worshipteamtraining.com. But the university side is basically everything that we do in a weekend is just put online in a university form. So people can take it if they're on the bus or, you know, if they're working in their vocation, whatever, and they can't go to a workshop, that's what it's for.
Okay. Now, right as we go to the break, did you start understanding and noticing that when you were doing these workshops and meeting all these different people in different levels of the spiritual walk, that it became more than just about the music?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And in that, how did you feel that your role was to be played out in those people's lives as you're standing in front of them, sharing about your gift, your calling, but then getting inside and around the corner behind some closed doors about people's personal lives? Did you find yourself being used in a way that you thought maybe it is something new? It's a new level?
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. I mean, you can do music for a long time, and that's in the church and out of the church. It really doesn't matter. You can do music for a long time and just be into the music, but not be connected with people.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of great guys who do that very well by connecting with others. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that just do the music and, you know, that's it. I found that if I'm going to do music, I can turn it on with no problem. I've done it, all kinds of music from starting out with all my studies in school and graduate and all that. And I've done it all from rock pop to orchestral to choir, jazz, I mean, you name it. And so I could turn that switch on very easily, but I knew that if I did that, I'm also alienating 85% of people, because sure, you're going to have people that are just connected to music only, and you get that, but it's just like what my publisher told me. They want to know about you. So I was really quickly convicted, because I thought, man, if I'm going to be here talking about music and I'm talking about God, I got to start being honest.
There you
go.
That's
who I am.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's the corner we're going to turn. And when we come back after our first break, we're going to talk about what happens when you become authentic and real in front of God and then in front of a group of people at the same time. So just be with us right on the other side of this break for Breaking the Silence.
HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers A Child Called It and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Thank you, Doug. If you get an opportunity the next few days, jump on shatteredbythedarkness.com on our Facebook and at Shattered by the Darkness on Instagram at Shattered by the Darkness. We also want you to call in tonight if you have a thought or a comment or a question for Brannon. If any of Brannon's roadies that are listening in tonight wants to call in and share a thought, you're more than welcome to do that at 888-627-6008. Now, Brannon, let's just turn the corner here and let's just be very open.
Sure.
And like you just said, authentic. Why did you title, and it's just a working title, Facing the Shadow? What does that mean if somebody sees that on the shelf when this book comes out and they're saying Facing the Shadow? I wonder what that's about. What does that those three words mean to you?
Well, a shadow is something that an image comes into the path of light, blocks the light, and and the image of that silhouette, you have the darkness. And all my life I had lived in that shadow, in that darkness, and tried to go through life thinking that things were fine, but just knowing that there was something, that there is a shadow, something that was always having me look over my shoulder where I went, affected my ability to be open with people. It affected my ability to be honest. It affected my personality, my confidence, my self-esteem, everything. And so basically I tried to live something that I wasn't for all these years to cover up so that I wouldn't see my own damage and that I wouldn't deal with it effectively, because it's easy to escape into something else. It's easy to try to be something else that prevents you from dealing with what actually is really there.
Oh, yeah.
And so that to me was my shadow. And I understood that too, that a shadow is something that also is a confusion. A shadow is a lie. A shadow is hurt. It's shame. And I'm speaking, these are my identities of what I think a shadow is. Other people may have different ideas of what they call a shadow. Mm-hmm. And I'm also not speaking biblically what a shadow is. I'm just talking about what that is, what it represented for me. Right. So I spent 35 years of facing this shadow, and now I'm finally talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you have a story that is fascinating about this church bell. Is that something that you can share with our listeners tonight?
Absolutely.
And work your way into that however you need to do that. But this, to me, when I heard this, it's like, wow, you have to share that on the show. Mm-hmm. And I want to give you all the time you need to get this out. But I'm just going to the church bell, what's that mean to you and how that affected you?
Thank you. Let me just start out by saying that those of you who have been to my workshops, have you invited me into your church? You've heard me talk about the story because I've used it as part of me. It's my testimony. Yeah. And when I started doing worship team training, we started back in 2006, and I really didn't have much to say because I wasn't really locked into the honesty that I'm dealing with now. And so as I've been working through that and this church bell, this goes back, and those of you who you may know this, my parents divorced when I was 5. I remember playing out in the front yard. I was about to go inside. All I hear is the stepping of my father, which I didn't see at the time, coming near the front of me, slamming 2 suitcases, and I'm hearing the pavement just being pounded by his luggage. And I'm looking at his shiny brown shoes, and I look up at him, and he says, right down to me, and as I'm still sitting in my big wheel, and he says to me, son, I'm sorry, but I'll probably never see you again. And then my mom is running out of the front door saying, yelling at him, yes, you will see him again. And I'm 5, I have no idea what's going on. I'm just thinking, I'm in awe of the whole situation. My dad slips into his car and drives off into, again, the shadowy backdrop of trees and the forest of Conroe, Texas. That's where I was born. Mm-hmm. And out of that, my parents wound up divorcing. There was a lot of tragedy and trauma that was felt from my mom, my brother, my sister, and I'm sure my dad too at some level, and definitely there was for me. And I felt like it was my fault. I felt hurt. I felt pained. And afterwards, I had moved in with my dad for a short time because my mom was, she had custody of me, but she needed to get her feet on her feet financially. And so I lived with my dad on the lake for a while. And we later on moved to the country. And when we lived there, this is when the events took a darker shade, a darker tone. And that's when the shadow came in. I was 6 years old, and I was, well, to say it, I was sexually abused when I was 6. And this happened by, under my dad's supervision, him taking care of me, but he was not aware of what was happening. And this came to be by other kids and people in the neighborhood that I became friends with. And simply, these people had took me into a dark house, locked the doors, and they made me do things and made me see things that I did not want to do and I did not want to see. Mm. And having that trauma as a child scarred me throughout my life, and that abuse continued from the age of 6 all the way to about 17. And I had a stepbrother at the time. The stepbrother was in on this activity and would threaten to beat me up, would threaten to do things to me physical, threaten me with physical harm if I did not comply. Mm-hmm. And he would tell my parents. And all along, my dad, my mom had no awareness of what was happening, neither my brother or my sister. And it was a pain that I had to live with and a hurt that I could not understand at being so young. And the fact that I felt like I had no help, I felt like I could not tell a soul. Because after all, not only did I have someone threatening me, but I also had, in my mind, and maybe that's not what he was being, but in my mind, I felt that my father neglected me, that my father did not rescue me, that my father did not see the signs and see the hurt of what I was going through and not step in and say, hey, wait, mm-hmm. what's happening? What happened to you? Mm-hmm. Why is this? What can I do? I never had any of these conversations. And this is at the time when I'm living in a trailer home in the country with my dad. And there, of all things, I'm, there's a church that is right behind us. And during the day, I would ride my bike and I would hear the bell of this church and I'd hear it ring out across the countryside. And with all this pain and abuse going on during those times, I would hear that bell, and that bell reminded me that there is a loving God that I didn't know, because I didn't become a Christian until I was 9 years old. I had no idea. I just knew that there is a God. And probably because I heard my mom talk about it from somewhere. Mm-hmm. And my mom was more church going than my dad was, but we really weren't a Christian home. And mm-hmm. so, but I knew that God was, that there was a power that was there that was greater than I, that was watching what was happening. And so when I would hear that bell, it would remind me that I was not alone. But more importantly, going back to the light in my bedroom through the window, there would be a light that shined from that church, and it shined into my window. So when the darkness and shadows would come in, when that light shined, as it became dark, there was a place in my room where that brightness had occurred, and it just diminished the shadows on that one side of the wall. And that became my beacon. I remember that there were nights that I would cry myself to sleep, feeling trapped and feeling like I couldn't utter a word. I felt like I couldn't even breathe. I felt so worthless and useless that I've even had thoughts of taking my own life. Yeah. And I could not reconcile all that together. And when that light would shine in, that became my beacon of hope. And I would still hear the cries of my mom, the cries of my brother, my sister, awful cries, awful things that I would hear, awful imagery, awful, going back to the scenarios of the abuse day after day or week after week, and just being in those environments and thinking, man, is this normal? Is this, I guess it is. And I just accepted it for what it was. And I just thought, well, this happens to everybody. Maybe it's different for some people, but I'm just not going to say anything either. And that kind of gave me even more leeway to just let it be okay, because after all, if you can normalize things, right, it must happen to other people too, then maybe it's not a big deal. And that's kind of I felt that in those dark times, I felt that being so afraid to say anything, this is how I felt towards my father, that he would not hear of it. He neglected it. He rejected it. And in another way, told me that what I was going through, my pain, did not exist. And that hurt me. That hurt me more, I think, than the trauma that my body and my eyes and everything that I experienced. And so flash forward, I'm trying to, I'm in and out between homes of my living with my dad, my stepmom, stepbrother, stepsister, moving back into where my mom is, being with my brother, being my sister. There's still a lot of really bad family dynamic and just tragedy going on left and right. I did not have a normal home. I did not have normal peace at all. I did not have a normal childhood. I felt like I had to grow up quickly and become an adult because my childhood was robbed from me at six. Mm-hmm. And you've been there, Greg. Oh, yeah. And it's extremely, extremely lonely. And so music was always a comfort for me. Music, yeah. I played music ever since I was five. I'd start out playing drums, guitar, keyboard. I would sing. I'd write my own songs. My brother was friends with the late, great Neil Peart from Rush. And I had friends in different bands secular bands that are well known. And when I got into the church and did Christian music, then I started meeting all kinds of people there as well. And so at that point, I just started covering myself with music because that became my escape. That became my way out. And that became my solace. And I thought, well, you know, if I can just bury myself for a while, but I found that by doing those things and trying to skirt over the reality and the honesty and skirting over the lies, that just, it did not help me. It just made my pain worse and worse and worse. And it just re-insulated all of the negativity and the pain that I felt and the trauma. And so here I am, I'm thinking I'm getting my life back together. I'm, you know, I have an awesome encounter with a Hispanic brother. I'd lived with a Hispanic family for a while. And the oldest brother, Ben, brought me to the Lord Jesus, and they spoke fluent Spanish in the home, and I learned, and he just said to me, you know, Brandon, I know the pain of your family and what you've been through, and he said these words I'll never forget. He said, but I'm here to tell you, it is not your fault. Mm. Now, Ben had no idea what I went through. He had no idea. I think he had some idea because there were some things happening there too, but I don't think he knew what happened to me when I was six. And when he said those words, that's all I kept thinking about was 6 years old, all the way up till now, all the way up to now, meaning when I was 9 years old at that time. And I gave my life to the Lord. He led me in a prayer and received Christ my Savior. I was later baptized. And I thought that I was living my life right. I thought that I was doing the right thing. And And then I had a tragic accident, and this is going through high school now, and I'm playing drums in jazz band. I have I was awarded a 4-year scholarship to study at Berklee School of Music. I thought that was going to be my path. I just met who is now my wife, my sweet wife, and Heather. And by the way, we have 2 boys. They're awesome. They're 9 and 6, and they're just wonderful, beautiful boys. And anyway, Heather and I met. I had this terrible accident. I had to learn how to walk all over again. I had to learn how to everything. I almost lost my mobility to walk, to be normal. And I had to learn a whole new set of a way of life. It took me 7.5 years to recover. But my wife, Heather, was there with me throughout that whole journey. And I had to forgo my scholarship at Berklee because of my pain and physical pain. And I had to be treated here in Houston. And so I grew up in Houston. I did my all my associates. I did my undergrad. I even did my master's commuting from Houston going to California. So I did all that stuff in music. And so I'm at this point in my life, you know, God's called me to ministry. My wife and I are just growing. We're planning ourselves in a new home. And I'm thinking that things are great. I felt like I was doing okay with the pain that happened to me as a child. And I'm trying to, now that I'm in the church and, you know, I'm good. Like I'm following what God's called me to do. And I'm trying to live right and do all the right things and be committed. And I was, but there was something that was still bothering me. There was that pain that I kept neglecting, that I thought that I was fine, but I was just lying to myself. That's what it turned out to be. So what happened, one day there was a church that contacted us and asked me, hey, would you come out to our church? And we get these calls all the time, and you know, but this one was local, and they said, yeah, we're right up the road from where you are. And I just, okay, great. So I hung up the phone, and my wife heard the conversation that we had, and she asked me, hey, do you know where that church is? And I said, well, no. She said, you need to Google it and find out. So I Googled the church and found out where it was. I went to the church the very next day, and I'm walking around the pastor. I'm looking at the countryside, and I'm seeing a lot of familiarity. And have you to know that there is that church bell, the same church bell that rang when I was 6, was ringing in my ears now. I think at that time I was 35 years old, maybe. And it had the same crack. It had the same brass tin sound. It had the same hollowness and heaviness to that metallic hit. And I fell to my knees and I just started sobbing. And the pastor looked at me, Brandon, are you okay? And mm-hmm. He must have thought he had a wacko on his hands. And I stood up, I brought myself together, and I apologized. I said, look, I grew up here. I grew up in this town, and I had no idea I was going to be standing here today. And I'm still in shock by hearing this bell. I'm not putting everything together. I mean, I'm putting everything together, but it's just going haywire. And I had asked him, can you tell me about this bell? He said, yeah, you want to know the story? I said, yes. And he said, this church is over 100 years old. And being out in the country, the farmers that would go out in the fields would not be able to travel a long distance to come to a service. So we would ring this bell at lunchtime, and that would signal all the farmers and all the people in the area to pray. Mm. And as I began to weep again, it's because during those times when I was being abused and I was going through all the hurt and pain, there were still people praying. Mm-hmm. When I had no idea, and I, even in my hurt, there were still people praying, and there were still people. It just immediately realized, wow, there are people who love me all along, and I'm not alone. Yeah. I'm not alone. And it wasn't my fault. And then I kept remembering the words of Ben, of what he was saying, that I was never alone. And so I went through just the years after that, having to unpack all of this. And it's only now, it's only been recent, that I'm finally talking about it. And then here tonight with you, I'm breaking my silence.
Yeah. And we're going to talk more in detail now how to unpack those bags and how you've done that and that process of where you found hope and resiliency in the middle of all this. We're going to take our last break right now, and then we'll be right back with more of Brandon's story on Breaking the Silence.
HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers A Child Called It and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Tell you what, I told everybody to fasten your seatbelts because this was going to be a powerful program, and I appreciate Brandon, you just sharing, and a lot of people in your inner circle is listening to this, maybe for the first time. Brandon, and before we talk, because we only have looks like maybe 10 to 12 more minutes, How did you survive? Tell me some of the things that, because our stories are so similar, how did you make it through those days where you thought the shadow was just going to overtake you?
Well, you know, I had to, when I saw light anywhere, I just had to focus on, I just focused on the light.
Mm-hmm.
I focused on different things that I could just block out everything else.
Yeah. You know, I want to encourage you, just briefly, you and your wife, that from this day forward, your life will never be the same. Once you tell this story like this, and you haven't told the whole story, and your book probably will go into way more greater detail, and then you can do it exactly the way you want to, and it's not live, and you actually have the choice of words and things of that order, you're going to see people come out of the woodwork towards you saying, "Help me." And your ministry is going to go from one level to another. And I just want to, before we even start running out of time later on, I want to make sure you hear this. I applaud you for your boldness and your courage to break your silence and delicately and beautifully just share that with us tonight, with the whole world. And be ready. You and your wife, tighten your seatbelts, because it's going to be a ride, and it's going to be an awesome ride. And the growth, the impact, and your baggage that you've had, you said you started unpackaging, will lighten every time you tell it again. And I just applaud you, and thank you so much for sharing that portion so far of your story.
Thank you.
When when you are in this kind of environment and you find the hurt, what was some of the things that you you said music was a major portion that got you through a lot of that, right? Anything else? Right.
Yeah, I mean, just a typical try to involve myself with school, try to, you know, educate myself on getting better at whether it be music or sports, anything that I could to try to throw off my attention. You know, and I got good at it, but then I didn't get so good. My brother and I grew up playing soccer, so I've always loved the sport, and I'm, you know, quite the lover of sports and an athletic type, and so I enjoy that. But you know, as I said before, I just had to come to a point where I just had to be honest, because living so long for all these years of not dealing with the hurt, that's what was hurting me even more. And I think that's the I think that's the misconception, and it's very much like the way that somebody goes through all their life when you don't give your life to Jesus. It can feel like, yeah, the same way that, look, I can do this on my own, and you can be as, you can strive as best as you can, but you're going to run out of gas. Yeah. And, you know, I knew that for me, even when I did know the Lord, you know, the pain was still present. And I think that's also another misconception, because we think, well, when we become a Christian, well, how can we, you know, why do we experience pain? And why does it have to be this way? Or we shouldn't experience pain. We should be able to live life, you know. And I remember the words of Jesus had said, he said that, you know, in this world we will have trouble, but in him we'll have peace. He gives us his peace. So Jesus never lied. He said it. We're going to have trouble. And so I had to square up to that, thinking, you know, okay, then this is a troubled world, and what happened to me is not my fault. If it's not my fault and that's trouble, then it's not from God, because God already told me that he gives me his peace, but I need to quit running from it. I need to start running to it. And that's what changed my whole thinking. And, you know, the where I'm at now, I've never felt more free in my whole life. I feel like I'm 6 years old again, living life now in the way God intended it. I can look at my children now, and I think that the thing that gets me through every day is looking at my family and saying they will never have to go through the pain that I went through.
Yeah.
And I have an awesome wife who loves me, who's my partner, and we have awesome children. We have awesome people in our lives, friends, church, and so many people that have been there. And you just cannot keep living in the darkness. You have to come to the light, because it's either the light's going to hit you first if you go out the wrong way, or you're going to come at it the right way. And I knew that I just could not keep, you know, I could not keep it down the way that I was before. And I just had to do something about it. And I'm so thankful for who God brought in my life to help aid me and to help me with my comfort and to help me heal.
Yeah. This is awesome. And you know, the neat thing about this, Brandon, is we have a couple minutes before we have to go, but, I think we are working on a project together, and I'm being serious as a heart attack. I think, Brandon, you and I and this project and the people that we have come on board with us, this could change the world. And, you know, I always think bigger than, you know, I'm a kind of a wild thinker. But, you know, we're going to do this conference in Houston area. And I think we have a title of it called Breaking Through. Shining Hope in Dark Places. And we're going to have an all-day conference sometime in November. We're thinking about, November 7th? Is that the date we're kind of put on the calendar?
Yeah, I think so.
And you and I are going to do some keynote speaking, and then we're going to bring some professionals in to have workshops and different lines of training for people. And it's not just going to be for church people, although we're going to invite all of them, pastors and their entire churches, but it's going to be for all those people out in the Houston area that are just hurting. And I think once you stand up like you have been tonight and speak from your heart in authenticity, there's going to be people that find hope that they have been searching for all of their lives. And I keep thinking of that as we hung up on the phone the other day. I immediately came to my mind the Field of Dreams movie, the last scene where they're out there and then they see all these cars driving up with their lights on to a parking lot and not understanding why they're there. And I can see that happening at this conference. And the impact we're going to make. And if it's only on one life, it's going to be worth it. But I think it's just going to snowball into something. How do you now, we only have about a minute or two, how do you now, Brandon, all the folks that are listening in from your church to the people that you've done conferences in front of, to your business partners and colleagues and worship team people, and what do you want them to know, not about your story, but how do you want them to respond to what you have just told the world?
That it's not your fault.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a power greater than the darkness. Mm-hmm. Can you see his light shining in? Let the power of God shine in your heart and find the healing, hope, and freedom that you deserve and that you have in him. And then, and only then, you can face the shadow yourself. And there's a power of God. The power of God then can help you break your own silence.
Wow. That's so beautiful. Now, if you're ready for this, how can people get in touch with you if they want to just share with you what they thought of the program tonight? What's the best way if they want to email you or get on your webpage? How would they do that, Brandon?
Sure. I'll give first our web address. It's worshipteamtraining.com. And those of you who are in worship ministry, go to wttu.co for the university. And my email is Brandon, that's B-R-A-N-O-N, so don't put a D in it. It's just BRANON at worshipteamtraining.com.
Okay.
And another simple email address probably be Brandon, BRANON at WTTU.co.
Okay. And, of course, they can reach out to me, and, too, if they want to do that. Everybody knows how to get in touch with me. And the phone number that I have, I give out my cell phone number all the time if people want to call, but that's 832-396-6525 if they just want to call me, and I can connect them with you. But Brandon, sure. I applaud you. I thank you. You're just an awesome individual. I'm looking forward to not only the friendship we have, but a friendship that is going to go for the rest of our lives. And I really think that we're going to be enjoying watching people receive the light that they are so desperately looking for. And so I appreciate your story. And Curtis just texted me and said that my son said that he will post all that information also on our website of how to get in touch
awesome.
With you.
Thanks,
and he's just an awesome son. And we have about a minute. Brandon, anything else before we go tonight?
I just want to say a special thanks to you, Greg, and your staff of having me on your show tonight. And most of all, the way that God connected us. I mean, absolutely, yeah. You're a dear friend, and it's only by his appointment that we came together, so which I'm thankful.
Yeah, you know, it seems like it's been, I've known you for all my life, but it's only been a week or so. And it's just that kind of relationship, and I just appreciate it. And this is going to be a wonderful run. Thank you for being with us tonight, and we will get this out to all of our podcast world come Tuesday. And I will send this to you also, Brandon, the entire show, so you can post it and send it to anybody that you want to. And I would love to hear from anybody this evening if they want to write me or get on the webpage or Facebook or call me or text me, whatever. I would love to hear from you about what you thought about the show, and I'll pass it on to Brandon too. Join us here next week for Tyen Dayton from the New York City, a therapist and author that's going to share about the adverse childhood experiences. Brandon, thank you again, my friend, and we will be talking probably about 8 times again tomorrow and for the rest of the week.
Thank you again, Greg, and thank you for all your listeners too.
Absolutely. And tell Heather I said, hey, can't wait to meet her and your two boys. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Greg.
God bless you, my friend. We want you to join us right here next week for another edition, 8 o'clock Central Time every Sunday night for another edition of Breaking the Silence. Thank you for joining us tonight. Remember, no matter where you're at, no matter what you've gone through, there is always hope. Hang on to that hope. Keep looking for it. The darkness will be shattered by his light. The hope is found in him. Have an awesome week. God bless. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.